In today's video, we are going to be talking about how to create your ideal schedule. We're going to use the 4 points that we talked about in the last episode, and then we're going to take those points and we're going to apply them to our own schedules. We're going to talk about a 3-part process to create an anchor-based schedule for our lives.
Welcome to a More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. We know that in the hectic hurry of everyday life, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. This is a moment to pause and realign your focus on the one who gives us peace and rest. We're focusing on discipleship, productivity, and homemaking as we live with eternity in mind. This is the place where you'll learn to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher. Thanks so much for joining me.
Hey everyone, and welcome to a More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. This is episode 24 of the podcast. So we have been talking a lot about planning and getting things done. This is the last episode in our Getting Things Done from a Godly Perspective. If you have liked these episodes, I would love it if you left a 1 or 2 sentence response for a More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. You can leave those as a rating or review wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can comment below if you're watching on YouTube. These podcasts have been talking all about creating goals, creating a vision, living intentionally, getting your to-do list done. And the last part of this podcast has been focused on creating your ideal schedule. Now, in the last episode, what we did is we talked about 4 key biblical points for creating your ideal schedule. And in this episode, we are going to be talking about how to use those points to actually make a schedule. So we're going to be getting really practical today and talking about those points. We're going to go over the difference between a time block schedule and an anchor-based schedule. And then we're going to talk about the 3-part process for creating an anchor-based schedule. So my husband is currently building a house. And so every day he goes off to work and he carries all of the things that he needs to work on the house. So you can think of that as like heavy equipment. He has his big truck. He has, you know, a drill. He has nails. He has all of the lumber, and he's building this frame of a house. Now, if you think about the load that a house can carry, it's pretty crazy. Like, you never think about, you know, if you wanted to get a new piece of furniture, or if you wanted to get a new TV, or if you wanted to get a new table, you never think about the fact that each of those things is more weight on your house. And so, you know, if you had too much weight on your house, your floor could fall through, right? There are videos of people who have, you know, decks and they're not secured right on their house. And so one person, they actually put a hot tub on their deck and the deck just fell clean off the side of the house because it wasn't attached right. So a lot of times whenever we're thinking about our homes, we never really, you know, understand or really process how much weight that our homes can carry. And the reason why is because our homes are engineered correctly so that it can bear the weight of all of the things that we have in our lives. What we're going to be looking at today is thinking about engineering our schedule, or building our schedule, creating a blueprint for our schedule so that we can bear the weight of all of the things going on in our lives. The most important thing that my husband takes with him to the work every day is not the lumber. It's not the heavy equipment. It's the blueprints for the house. If you don't have the blueprints, your home might not be correctly engineered. You might forget the supports that need to go in certain places. The old adage goes, cut once, measure twice. And I think the thing that they should add on to that is look at the blueprints 3 times. And so I think as you look at your schedule is this blueprint for your life, that if you can plan it and do it wisely, you will be able to accomplish so much more. A schedule, we talked about this in the last episode, that a schedule is like the budget for our life. So just like with budgets, sometimes we meet our budget. Sometimes we do even better than what we plan for in our budget, where we get to save more money and we don't spend as much. But sometimes we might overspend. As we think about our budgets are there not to necessarily dictate exactly what we spend, because every month is different and we have to be flexible with them. But if we have a budget, it can be our guide. It can be our blueprint where we can compare the things that we're doing now to what the budget says. And then by doing that, we can figure out things that might need to change in our life. So as we create our schedule, I want you to keep this in the back of your mind that yes, you might not meet your schedule every day, but by following your schedule, you'll be able to align what you do with your priorities. A schedule is just a way of making sure that the way we spend our time matches our ideals, values, and priorities. So, how do we make our ideal schedule? Well, I think there are two different ways that you can do this. When most people talk about creating a schedule, most of the time they recommend doing a time block schedule. But what we're going to talk about today are two different ways of creating your schedule: time blocks and anchor based. And I'm going to recommend at the end of this that really you should use an anchor based schedule. And I'll talk about why in just a minute. But first, let's talk about this first type. So this is a time block schedule. So a time block schedule is what you might think of whenever I tell you about a schedule. You could think of maybe a day at school or a day at work where every part of your day is dictated for you. So what this might look like in your home life is if you say, okay, every morning I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock, and from 5 to 5:30, I'm going to do my Bible reading. Then from 5:30 to 6, I'm going to exercise. Then I'm going to get ready from 6 to 7 and get the kids ready. We have to be out the door at 7:15, and then I get to work at 8 o'clock, and then you go on from there. And I think really whenever people talk about schedules, they recommend doing this time block schedule. But you can see that really this is very legalistic and it dictates a lot of your time. It also is sometimes not realistic, where let's say you wake up and, you know, if you have a newborn baby and your baby's been up all night, you might not wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning because you might be just tired. And so then you wake up at 7 o'clock, you've missed most of your morning. So where do you start? If you have to go to work, you know, you skip all of the things that you did before and you go straight to work. If you are at home, well, how do you decide what the priority is? Do you jump ahead to that time, or do you go back and maybe do your Bible reading? And you could just see how if you do your schedule this way, you might always feel like you're coming up short, especially because a lot of times what we do is we spend too much time thinking about all the things we're going to get done, and we don't have enough time to actually get those things done. So you might spend all this time creating a time block schedule of 15-minute increments, but then whenever life happens, you'll notice that you didn't get half as much as you wanted to plan for. And so because of that, you really just feel kind of shame and guilt that you didn't get those things done. The other way of making a schedule is using anchors. Now anchors, what these things are, is they're basically just moments in a day that help you to remember what the next thing is going to be. Normally what you do is you pick these non-negotiable moments, the things in your day that you're gonna do regardless. They're not necessarily work-related tasks. You know that you're going to do them every day, because if you didn't, you wouldn't, you know, pay the bills, you wouldn't get fed. The things that I would recommend choosing as anchors is normally centered around food, though all your anchors, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, all your anchors are going to be dependent on you and your family schedule. So if you work outside the home, one of your anchors would be leaving for work, because you have to go to work every day. If you don't, you aren't going to get the bills paid. If you don't go to work though, then you have a little bit more free time in the morning. So what would your anchor be? Well, then I would recommend that maybe one of your anchors is maybe breakfast, or when you get your kids up out of bed. Having your anchor be lunch or dinner are great things too. You also have the anchors of waking up in the morning and going to bed. So anchors, again, as you start to see some of these examples, they're things that you would do regardless. They're not something that you can really get out of doing, because you have to feed yourself. You have to wake up in the morning. You have to go to work. And the perfect thing about doing an anchor-based schedule is you already have those habits built in that can trigger these other things that you are going to do in the day. So the way that this could work is, let's say that you are at home, whether you're retired or you're a stay-at-home parent. And so every day you wake up. And so that could trigger that whenever you wake up, I'm going to do our morning routine. So I'll do my Bible reading, I'll unload the dishwasher, I'll do a load of laundry. And then that anchor, you waking up, helps to trigger your brain to do some of these other things that you want to get done, all of these habits. Then as your day goes on, maybe the next thing that you do is you have breakfast. And so that having breakfast triggers that you need to go do something else. Maybe that would be taking care of the house with some chores. Maybe it could be, if you're a stay-at-home parent, that maybe you have to start your homeschool then. And so basically what you've done is you've had this anchor that you're going to do regardless, and you attached it to something else that you want to do, but maybe you haven't been as consistent in. Exercise would be a great thing to attach to your anchors, and some of these other habits like reading that you really want to do and you feel like you should do, but you just don't know where to put them in your day. Again, anchors are just basically non-negotiable habits that you stack with other activities. Eating is something that you have to do, and so you can use eating as an anchor for your day and habits stack other things that you want to get done onto that anchor. So as you continue to add on all of these other habits to your day through habit stacking, basically you're creating the rhythm of your day. You've just scheduled it out. Just like I said, you know, I started with our morning routine and I moved right into breakfast. And then, you know, as you spend the rest of your day, you might move into lunch, and lunch triggers that maybe you need to put the kids down for a nap. And then after nap time, it triggers that you need to clean up the house and get dinner ready. And then that just moves on into the next thing. So you could see how using anchors creates this rhythm where you can add in all of these other things that you want to do. So this would be an example of an anchor-based schedule in our days. But like we talked about in the last episode, whenever we're thinking about our schedules, I don't want us to just think about like your vertical day and just leave it at that. I also want you to think about your weeks and your years. We talked about how our days are cyclical and our weeks are cyclical and our years are cyclical, where we have these rhythms of rest and work and all of the other things in between. And so our days, it's easy to see how they're cyclical and how you can use these anchors to remind you to do things. But how can you use an anchor-based schedule in your weeks and your years? Well, I think for your week, what you can do is you can pick some of these non-negotiable pre-scheduled activities. And what I mean by that is things that you have to go to and you know you have to go to. It's a responsibility. You've agreed to do it. And so those would become your anchors in your week. I think of things like, you know, maybe sports practices, church meetings, maybe if you have some kind of regular, you know, family or friend get together. Those would be anchors in your week. And so you would schedule for them. Some people who are homeschoolers, what they do is they have a loop schedule. So every week they have a list of subjects that they want to do. But instead of saying, you know, I'm going to do math on Monday, ELA on Tuesday, or do all of the subjects all in one day, what they do is they do a loop schedule. So they might school four times a week, or five or six, you know, if they're catching up. And so every time that they school, they just do the next thing that is on their list. So it's not necessarily an order based on the day of the week. Instead, it is something where they just have this anchor of, okay, we're gonna do homeschooling. And so then they have a loop schedule where they're cyclical in the way that they tackle the subjects that they are picking to study for that day. You can also, in the context of a year, anchors are great because they kind of match up with our holidays. Our holidays, maybe your vacations, if you have events. We have a lot of events in the conference that my church is a part of. And so every year, that is something that we base our year around. So thinking about maybe youth camps, you could think about, you know, events in the summer that you're a part of, or just events throughout the year, like Christmas or spring break is one that's not necessarily a holiday, but you know that vacation is there. And so you kind of plan your time around that. So you could see how with these anchors in your year, you could use these anchors to trigger that you want to do something else. And so what I mean by that is, let's say you know that you want to get, you know, like decluttering or something like that. Well, what you could do is you could say, okay, every year at Christmas, I'm going to, you know, deep clean the house, maybe dust everything and try to get rid of a few things. So you attach a task to the holiday or the season, and that just, you know, triggers your brain to tackle some of the things that you want to get done. This would be, you know, something that a lot of people do, you know, around holidays. They could also say at the changing of the season. So every time that you kind of change the weather from, you know, spring to summer or summer to fall, and you put up these different directions, it could trigger, you know, decluttering or something like that. And so these are just a few examples of how an anchor-based schedule could work, not just for your days, but also for your weeks and your years. So like I said, time block schedules is what most people choose. And in the context of a year with a time block schedule, that's like saying, okay, I'm going to pick a different goal to work at for each month. So in January, I'm going to pick, you know, eating no sugar. In February, I'm going to pick meeting with friends. And you kind of just pick these goals arbitrarily with the name of the month. We do this a lot with different things where we try to base our schedules around just the days of the week or the months of the year. But I think if you use an anchor-based schedule, you have a lot more flexibility. So you can take as much time as you need for each area that you've set these goals for or each thing that you need to get done. And so it just offers more flexibility because you do the next thing as you are able to. So that's why I would recommend choosing an anchor-based schedule as opposed to a time block schedule. So now it's time to make your schedule. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about three steps for making your ideal schedule. And those steps are, you need to determine your anchors in your week, and then you need to mark areas of open time in between your anchors and kind of designate and set boundaries around the time that you see there. And then you need to identify any habits that you want to stack on to your anchors. So that's our three-part system. So let's talk about how you would do this. So in the last episode, we talked about our four biblical points that we need to keep in mind as we make our schedule. The first one is we work out of rest. Our second one is we need to honor the cyclical nature of our days, weeks, and seasons. We need to have balance in our schedules. And we need, or at least try to align our schedules with a liturgical year. So keeping in mind the story of Christ and the story of the Bible in our year. And I have a post online that you can read on the blog that goes more in depth with why the church calendar is beneficial for us, even if you're a Protestant. So what I do whenever I am planning my ideal schedule is I actually would print out a circle. Because again, I say that our days, weeks, and years are cyclical. And so I think it's important to recognize that because it's not something that you're just progressing into this future of this totally different end goal. You're going to do the same things every day. You're going to do the same things every week, and you're going to do the same things every year. And so I think it's important as we look at our schedules that we kind of see that even in the way that we symbolize our schedule. So instead of doing a schedule that looks more like a planner, that's like vertical and kind of laid out like a spreadsheet, I recommend planning your year by looking at it as a actual circle so that you could see these times of rest and then these times of work. And the same thing with your week, where you have this time of Sabbath, and then this time of work in your week. And then the same thing with your year, where you have, you know, Advent and winter, which is more of a rest time. And then you have the time of spring, summer, and fall, where you're, you know, waking up to work, working hard, and then kind of going back into this rest mode. So I would print out your schedule. And then what I would do first is I would create your anchors. So you need to determine what are your anchors in your week. Now, I said before, all of our days are so varied that every person is going to have very different anchors. But I think it's important to think about this now, because if you don't establish your anchors, then you're not going to really know how to do these other things where you can use your schedule to accomplish more than what's really going on now. And again, right now, you probably had these anchors in your day, even if you've never identified them. But sometimes I think our schedules can be out of balance, where we don't realize that we aren't spending our time as well as we could, and we're not really stewarding our time. So to determine your anchors, first, I would maybe go back to your time inventory that we talked about in the last episode, where you look through and kind of see everything that you have going on in your life. Because we live in such a scheduled society, you're going to have quite a few things that are already just kind of predetermined for you and you can't really change. So like I said, things like sports, church meetings, work responsibilities, any of those things are just going to be pre-scheduled. And what I would recommend is treating them like an anchor in your week. Now, as you look through this, you might decide that some of the things that are pre-scheduled, you have been treating kind of like if we go, that's great. If not, that's fine too. What I would say is use this time now to kind of decide your boundaries and decide what you want your values and your priorities to be in your life. If you are saying that something is an anchor, it should be a non-negotiable. And so let's say church, for instance. If church is one of your anchors in your week, you think it's important enough for it to be a non-negotiable in your week, because anchors are non-negotiable events. You have to go unless, you know, you're sick and you can't get out of bed, or you know, you're traveling or something like that. If your week is normal, you will be there. You're going to be doing this anchor. So if you have said that this is something that you value, that you want to spend your time on, then you want to make sure that you're actually doing that in your life. So by determining that something is an anchor, you are saying, I am placing value and a priority on this thing. And so then that means after you create this schedule, you need to actually do that thing. So you might realize that, one, you haven't been treating your anchors like these non-negotiable events, and so you need to work on that. The other thing is that you might realize that some of the things that you are treating as anchors shouldn't actually be anchors. So, you know, we all live in a pretty overscheduled society. And so what that means is you might decide that certain things that you have been making a priority in your life, you don't want to do that anymore. You could think of things that you notice on your time inventory that week after week you're doing this thing, whether that's maybe you're, you know, heading home early to watch a game, or maybe every week you are prioritizing doing something like maybe a sports related event. Maybe you realize with your kids they're too overscheduled. And so you just have to use discernment. If you're placing something as an anchor, you're saying that this is one of your main priorities. And so you just want to make sure that you're not overscheduling yourself. And so that means you have to decide what your main priorities are. Are there ways that you could maybe change the anchor and make it into maybe just something that you do every now and then as an activity? Or maybe it's something where you say, we need to take a break from this for right now, and then see if in the future maybe we could go back and do that thing whenever we don't have so much going on. So it's just important, as you look at your anchors, this is a time for you to take what you're doing and prioritize it. Look at it as if it is something that you actually should do. So to figure out where these things go, you need to determine your anchors, like I just said, brainstorm what they are, and then you take your anchors and you begin with your daily schedule. And what you should do is, again, if you printed it out, you can just use a circle and write down what you decided for your daily schedule. What are your anchors every day? If you go to the blog, or you can look on the show notes, whether that you're on YouTube or if you're on you know, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, if you look at the show notes and if you enter your email, you'll get a free version of the Ideal Schedule Planner that it'll be sent right to your inbox, and you'll see these circles and a time inventory if you want to plan out your schedule that way. So what you do is just make, you know, your work schedule. That's going to be an anchor. So you'll write that down. Meal times, your sleep schedule. Maybe some of these things are things that, you know, in the back of your mind, you know, you need to have a regular, consistent schedule, but you really haven't. This would be a great time to determine when you want to eat, when you want to sleep, what should be kind of your budget for your time, where you know that you're doing the right thing if you're following it, and maybe you're getting off track if you're not following it. If you have a work schedule, maybe that would just be that whole day would kind of be taken up with that. If, especially if you have, you know, a very strict schedule, you know, with teaching, I didn't have much flexibility at all in what I did during the day. So there wasn't really much point in me trying to plan out what I was going to do. It was already dictated for me. If you have a lot more free time, whether that's because your job, just you have more self-directed time in your job, or if you're a stay-at-home mom or retired, I would recommend maybe writing down, you know, specific anchors in your day, even if you're working during that time, but you need to divide out how you're going to spend that time of your workday, you could still write down some anchors. Then I would move on to your weekly schedule. So again, you're picking these non-negotiable events that are going to be your anchors, and you're writing those things down. So things like church meetings, you might decide that you want to start doing some anchors. So we always do like family movie night. So that is always on Friday night, and that has become an anchor for our week. But every Friday we try to be home, and we all try to, you know, get together. It kind of, you know, ends the work week. It's a great tradition. And so because of that, that would be an anchor in our week. So we, every week, you know, we have our church time, and then we have our movie night on Friday. And that's just an important way to end our week. Then you can brainstorm your yearly schedule. And again, you might think of some traditions. Maybe if you had a lot of traditions growing up, but you don't now, this would be a great time to explore some ways that you could add those into your life, because traditions are so important for teaching us the truths about our family and the truths about God. And so you could think about ways to add that in. And again, you can look at that church calendar, celebrating the church calendar post, for more ideas of different traditions that you can add in your life. You want to have a rhythm of balance in your schedule. And so as you think about your anchors and looking at your schedule once you have it written down, you might decide that some of your days, it's not very balanced. Maybe you're out all week, or maybe you know, depending on the stage of life you're in, there could be times where you're in all week and you're not really seeing anybody. And so I think it's important, especially looking not just at your daily schedule, but looking at your weekly schedule, you need to have a balance between time that you're spending with other people and time that you're spending at home, time that you're spending at work, and time that you're spending resting. And writing all of that out as a cyclical calendar will really help you to understand if you have balance in your schedule or if maybe you're leaning either one way or the other. Whenever I was working, I would always try to have this balance between nights that I would be in and nights that I'd be out of the house. And so in that way, I'm saying, okay, sometime is designated family time. That's just us and we're hanging out. Other times we're reaching out and being with friends. We got sick in January and I've noticed this, that now it's like I'm craving that friendship. I was ready after the holidays. I was like, we don't need to see anybody. But now I am noticing that, you know, I'm spending a lot more time at home and not really going out and doing things. And I feel that. And I think sometimes we get so stuck in a rut in our schedule that we don't even recognize that we are craving time either by ourselves or time spent with people. And so writing this out can help you to give you an idea of what you are craving in this moment and how maybe you can get closer to that idea of balance. So if you realize that your schedule doesn't have balance, one thing that you can do is add in more anchors. So maybe if you realize that, you know, you're not really spending that much time with your family and you wanna create a family tradition that's just for you guys, you could create something like a pizza movie night or like a weekly hike, something like that, and you could add that into your week. Maybe you're realizing that you're out all the time and you have absolutely no time for yourself. Well, again, you could say, you know, on Saturday mornings, I'm gonna go out, get a coffee by myself, do some journaling, and that could be an anchor in your week. So you could start to brainstorm things that you see are missing from your schedule and add those in as an anchor for your week. You could also make standing plans with other people. Not everybody is gonna be going through, you know, creating ideal schedules, all this kind of stuff. And so if you recognize that you're like, well, I really need to spend more time with people. I'm, you know, becoming a little bit more reclusive. And so I need to, you know, break out of the mold, break out of my house and go spend time with people. If you see that, what you can do is you can just reach out to a friend and say, hey, you know, I really would wanna just spend time with you. And I know that life is so busy. Can we just make a plan to get together every 2 weeks? These kind of standing plans are the way to go because those standing plans, they become anchors in your week where you know that it's gonna happen. And then that way it's not like a question of when am I gonna get to see my friends? Instead, it's something that you look forward to and you know that in 2 weeks, you're gonna hang out together. And so you don't have to feel guilt that, you know, you never get to see your friends. You also don't have to feel like you never have time because by making it an anchor, by making a standing plan, you are already budgeting that time to spend with your friends. So what we've talked about so far is that you need to determine your anchors. We talked about what they could be. We talked about how that looks for a daily, weekly, in yearly schedule. And now what we're gonna talk about is what to do with that other time. So your anchors, they will take up quite a bit of your schedule. Again, they're non-negotiable, so you know that they're gonna be there every day, every week, every year. But you'll also notice that there's time in between the anchors. You don't have anchors for every moment of your day. Instead, there's times where if you say, okay, one of my anchors is breakfast, that might be at like 8 or 9 o'clock, depending on your schedule. And then you'll eat later on in the day. So for your lunch, it might be between 12 and 1, something like that. Well, what are you gonna do between breakfast and lunch? Between that, you know, 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock time. Again, if you're working full time, that already might be dictated for you. But what you can see is if you mark these open times, you can start designating time to do certain things during that. So one thing that I think has been really beneficial for me is setting boundaries on my time so that I don't let things kind of bleed over into other areas of my life. And this is what I mean by that. You know, I have been working on the podcast. I've been working on a newsletter. I've been trying to do more with the blog. I'm starting to dip my toe back into social media and start posting again. And so all of these things can take up as much time as I give them. Most of you guys, you know, I was a teacher. And one of the things that everybody said for teaching is that teaching will literally take up as much time as you give it. If you gave 24 hours in your day to teaching, there would still be more to do. You could still do something else because a lot of times you would remake, you know, curriculum, you would plan new lessons, you would make it really pretty. And so it will just soak up as much time as possible. Your house is the same way. You know, if you don't set boundaries on your time, I was reading somebody's comments before on a post that was talking about how much time do you spend cleaning? And that person said they spent 3 hours a day cleaning. And I just can't even imagine. Now my house, I don't spend 3 hours a day cleaning, and you can tell. But the thing is, if I let myself, I could easily spend that much time cleaning. And part of it would be me just going behind my children and cleaning up after them all day. You need to set boundaries around your time so that you're not letting things like that bleed into your life. If you know that every day I try to do like a little preschool thing with my kids, I spend my morning doing that thing. And because of that, I don't let writing and recording and doing social media and things like that bleed into my mornings. That is time for me to be focused and present with my kids. If I know that after, you know, I'm not a huge fan of cleaning and I would rather not clean. If I never had to clean, I'd be happy. But if I know that I need to clean, then I have to say, okay, before I start anything else after breakfast, I'm going to take 15 minutes and then it's my time to clean. And I don't let anything bleed into this. You know, I don't get to do fun things. I don't get to read my book. I don't get to look at my phone. I have to clean. So this is why it's important. You know, after you establish these anchors, these non-negotiables, then you look at this open time and you designate what category of time this is going to be. It's really helpful to use your time inventory to do this because if you do, you can look at the categories of time that you have to figure out what you need to designate in your schedule. So do you need time for cleaning? Do you need time for, you know, visiting people? You know, if you're a pastor, that's going to be a huge amount of time too. And I'm sure that you would never feel like you're done with visiting people and, you know, checking in on them. And so you got to designate, okay, on Wednesday mornings, I'm going to take the morning and this is my time where I'm going to see as many people as possible. Maybe it's you want to read and you want to read more. How can you designate time to make sure that you do that thing, but also not let that thing bleed into other areas of your life? So it is kind of a form of time blocking, but you're doing it on a rhythm. So you're doing it after you finish that anchor. And if you don't get to that thing, if it's, you know, the whole week's gone by and you never hit that rhythm because you've had other things take up that time, well, you just know the next week you'll start back again and try to add in that area to your life. This gets into the idea that our anchors trigger our rhythms for our day. And so you're trying to figure out by designating your time, what is your rhythm for your day? Almost every day around nap time, the reason why I'm able to do so much with creating the resources and the podcasts and things like that is because after I lay my kids down, that's the anchor, their nap time, their quiet time. Then that triggers that the next portion of time in my day is going to be work time. I'm going to try to write something, create something, record something. And so because of that, I have a rhythm in my day where every day I'm going to be doing this thing. And because I've designated that time, more than likely it does get done where I do get to work. Even if it's just for 30 minutes, I get to work on something. Now, if I was doing a time block schedule, the issue would be, you know, if I say, well, it's, you know, 2 o'clock and they're still not asleep and I was supposed to be working on the house at 4 o'clock and getting dinner ready, then you start to get worried that you're not following your schedule. But by following an anchor-based system, it's a lot easier to have that flexibility that you need. So after you have done this, you've basically created your entire schedule because you have your anchors in your day and then you have in between those anchors the rhythms of work, rest, spending time with people, and taking care of yourself placed in between. The last thing that can really help you to meet your goals, create habits, is to just go through your schedule. Now that it's all written out and everything is there on the paper, then you could say, okay, what areas of my life could be areas of potential habit stacking. So habit stacking, this is an idea that James Clear has read about in Atomic Habits. Other people have talked about as well. But basically, it is where you have a habit that is a non-negotiable. This would be our anchors, right? Because our anchors are non-negotiable. We're going to do them anyway. But what you do is you have these habits that are non-negotiable that are already ingrained in you. And you stack other habits that you want to do onto the current habit that you already have. So you're going to stack a new habit onto your anchors. So for instance, I told you, I don't really enjoy cleaning. And so I'm always putting it off and trying to avoid doing it every day. So one thing that I've done is I've attached cleaning to certain habits, certain anchors in my day. I've talked a lot about, you know, one of my things is my morning routine. And so my anchor is waking up. The habit that I stacked onto it is unloading the dishwasher. Now I unload my dishwasher every day, which means that normally I start it every night, which just means that dishes aren't as big of a deal as they used to be. Another thing that I just mentioned is that, you know, after breakfast, I try to clean, or before breakfast. But during that breakfast time, I use that as an anchor to say, okay, 15 minutes, I'm going to try to clean, you know, the bathroom, mop the floors, do something like that, just to keep moving forward in my house. You could have your habits be attached to anything. So again, if you know that you really want to get together with somebody at church and that you feel like you need to invest in your relationships a little bit more, a great habit would be to say, after church, you're going to go out to eat with the person, or after church, you're going to invite them over to your house, especially if you wanted another habit to be hospitality. So you've created a habit based on an anchor, and you're kind of hitting two birds with one stone, because you're going to see these people at church anyway. And so inviting them over is not that big of a deal. You just have to basically say, I'm going to do this thing. And then you've already got the ball rolling on a habit that you want to create. So part of what to do this, what you need to do is you need to go back to some of the habits that you've created. If you've been following along on the podcast, we've done a lot of these things where we've thought about who we want to be, then we've created goals and we've created habits based on those goals. But you look at the habits that you've wanted to start this year, whether that's, you know, an exercise habit is really popular to say that you want to start, or if it's your Bible reading habit. And then you say, okay, where in the day, what anchor would be a perfect trigger for the new habit that I want? One thing that I've wanted to do is to try to add in some exercise, but I haven't figured out the best way to do that. So right now, what I'm trying to do is get 10,000 steps every day. And so it's been ridiculously rainy and nasty. Basically the whole month of January, it was really cold for a while. And so one thing that I've started is just walking inside. So while the kids are playing, or maybe while, you know, if they're watching a show or something, then I say, okay, that's my trigger. And I'm going to walk while they do this thing. And I might be working, I might just be walking, I might maybe listen to a podcast. But by doing that, you're creating a new habit based on your anchor. So now it's your turn. Let's review what we've talked about today. So first, we talked about how you are going to make your ideal schedule. So we said that anchors and an anchor-based schedule is a lot better to use because of the flexibility than a time block schedule. And so to create an anchor-based schedule, you base it on a cyclical calendar, and then you determine your anchors, you designate what you're going to do in the open time, and kind of categorize that time based on the tasks that you want to do then. And then lastly, you identify certain habits that you want to stack onto your anchors in order to get the ball rolling on some of those goals and habits that you wanted to do this year. So we have talked so much in this series about getting things done from a godly perspective on, you know, your vision, your goals, your habits. This is the last episode in this series on the podcast. I am doing a mini series that I'm just posting onto YouTube that are about, you know, between 3 and 5 minutes long, but basically they are there just to kind of hit the main points of, you know, how to do a yearly review and theme of the year. So if you want any kind of review, you can go back and listen to those on YouTube if you want to figure out any of the specific things that we've talked about here. Next week, we're going to start a new series that is probably going to be a little bit shorter than this one, about how to deal with winter seasons in your life. So thinking about spiritual depression, thinking about those wilderness seasons, how to deal with those and overcome those with faith and trust in God. So we'll be talking about that next week. I would love to hear your feedback on the Getting Things Done series and just on the podcast in general. You can always email me, or you could leave a 1 or 2 sentence review and rate the podcast while you're at it. You can also comment below about some of the things that you would like to add to your schedule in the upcoming year. Maybe some habits that you're looking at, maybe some anchors that you have in your week. I would love to hear all of those things. Lastly, if you would like to follow along with what is going on, I have been talking a little bit more on social media, posting a little bit more, trying to get back into the swing of things. And you can go over to social media, especially on Instagram, at A More Beautiful Life Collective, and hear some of the reasons why I'm thinking about coming back to social media after doing a break for so long. You can also follow along on the blog, where every week I've started a new newsletter. So if you are interested in kind of keeping up with things, I am posting quite a few blog posts throughout the week. And also I'll be sharing some free printable every week in that blog post. You can go to amorebeautifullifecollective.com and you can subscribe there. And every Friday or every other Friday, I haven't decided which one yet, I'm gonna be sending out a weekly newsletter, just kind of doing a weekly roundup of all the things that I'm doing. Because right now we have the YouTube channel, we have the podcast, we have about 2 to 3 posts a week. And then also I am going to start guest posting on a few other places as well. So this is just an opportunity for you to kind of keep up with everything and get a free printable out of it. So if you want to follow along, you can subscribe to the newsletter there. So I so appreciate every one of you who listen to the podcast, and I would love for you to follow along with me, and I will see you next week. Bye.
I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. If you haven't yet, please leave a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts to help others find the show. While you're there, you can like and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the blog and our store for more encouragement and resources on how to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I'll see you next week.